10? If you've had a rough day, say amen. Oh, God, I got to preach through that. If your day was as bad as somebody living in Ukraine, say amen. That's what I thought. There's always a silver lining. Daniel 4 and 10, thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the ends of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadowed under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. With the Lord's help, I would like to preach to you on this simple title, Focus on the Foundation. And you gonna pray for us? I know they already did, but we'll pray.
Thank you, Lord, for all of us being here tonight. Lord, I pray that all of our distractions cease, Lord.
We just yes, Lord Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah,
I pray, God, that you
hallelujah, hallelujah,
God,
hallelujah,
God,
hallelujah,
his words,
glory,
God, to bring
glory,
your word
name,
as you have been
Jesus,
instructed
hallelujah,
and given him the knowledge
hallelujah,
and the notes,
hallelujah,
God, on all the verses
hallelujah,
you've given. God, I pray, Lord, that we give you our full attention, God, that we can take this into our lives and apply it, Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Brother K.O. and I were talking this week, and he said, I felt something shift right in the middle of that service on Sunday. And it did. The shift is there. It's here. I still see it. My goal, my desire is to keep us on the path of faith and trusting in the Lord. And so tonight, it may not sound like faith, but if you'll let me and you'll hang with me, it might make some sense. This tree that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream doesn't sound like a bad tree. The Bible says that it reached unto the heaven. It said the leaves were fair, the fruit was much, there was meat for everybody. All the beasts of the field took shadow under it. The fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs of it, and all the flesh was fed of it. What could be wrong about that? Now listen, watch. I want you to hear me for a second, because I'm going to dig deep right from the onset. Just because it looks good and tastes good, and just because others are being fed by it, doesn't mean it's okay. Especially with ministry, it's very easy sometimes with ministry. Because you're still in the pulpit, and because people are still coming, and because you're still getting invitations, you think everything's just fine. And because people are being fed by the word, we think everything's just fine. But something was wrong with Nebuchadnezzar, and that was the whole purpose of the dream. And so this tree and the branches and the leaves, they represented really the entirety of his life. And on the surface, and to any average observer, it appeared to be a great situation. But the beauty of the tree and what it provided became the focus of the situation. It became the focus of Nebuchadnezzar's life. He became lifted up because of what this tree represented him. We understand that. But he became lifted up because his life became such a, let's just call it a fruitful vine, if you please. And it's just like humanity to put more focus sometimes on the home than it is the foundation. I've found traditionally that we don't bother with the foundation at all from the moment the house is built, unless something's wrong with the foundation. Let me say that one more time in a different way. Sometimes we leave the foundation go and we don't give it any attention whatsoever until we figure out something's wrong with the foundation. And how do we know something's wrong with the foundation? The house begins to move. They begin to show cracks in the wall. Some things begin to be off center. No longer is the floor square. If you're a builder here, you understand how important it is to have a square floor, because if a floor is off just by a quarter of an inch or half of an inch, by the time you finish putting up a wall or whatever it is, you're going to find yourself a whole lot farther off than an inch or a half of an inch. That's why it's important to be square. Can you hit my black hanky down there, please? And so we become enamored with who we are, with our looks and our possessions. You know, the problem with our world today, I'm going to preach kind of a hybrid message, if you'll let me. Thank you. The problem with our world, and I'm going to especially say to you young ladies, those of you that are at least paying attention, is you put all your focus on your looks, changing everything about yourself, and you put no focus on your spirit. No focus on your walk with God. No focus on your foundation. You're building a life on top of something that will never stand. There was a recent study. I don't remember the exact number, but it was something to the tune of 70 to 80% of all people that dyed their hair a different color was clinically depressed. 70 to 80%. Why? And that's a fact. That's a fact. It's a fact. Because people are so empty, what they're trying to do is put attention on this surface, and they're not dealing with the foundation at all. If I could tell you, I've seen it once, I've seen it 100 times. I could tell you when a marriage is on its way to divorce just by looking at the home. Every single time. When they got project upon project upon project. There was such family one time, my wife and I became acquaintances with these folks. I told her, as soon as they're done and they've remodeled everything in this house, they'll get divorced. And as soon as they remodeled everything in the house, they got divorced. You know why? Because they put all the attention on the appearance and they did nothing with the foundation. They let the foundation go. Why? Because you don't see the foundation. So the foundation didn't really matter to them. Visitors walk in, they see the entryway, they don't see the foundation. Sometimes we have people come over our homes and we're more important with it being tidy than we are fixing our marriage. We're more important on all the decor being right in the house smelling good, but our marriage stinks. But nobody can smell that, so it doesn't become a topic of discussion. Nobody worries, hey, I'm so happy to see you, I just saw you there. It does my heart good to see you sitting there. And that's how people fall apart. That's how their walks with God fall apart. Because we focus on everything but Nebuchadnezzar focused on the grandeur of his life. And you can't say he's wrong because these people are being fed. And the animals are seeking shade in his kingdom, in his dominion. And everybody was prospering, so it can't be wrong, right? In verse 13, it says, and I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and the Holy One came down from heaven. Because God's always watching. Doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what we're doing or what we're not doing. God's always watching. And there are seasons in our life where the watcher says you're putting too much attention on the beauty and you're not putting enough attention on the foundation. And so the watcher comes down. And he said, the watcher came down from heaven and he cried aloud and he said, thus how, or hew down the tree and cut off his branches and shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit and let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Very powerful text, and I'm going to tell you why. Because there are times in our lives, it doesn't matter who we're feeding. It doesn't matter who's seeking shelter in our lives. It doesn't matter who's benefiting from our ministries. God's going to say, I'm going to cut it all down, take it away. Because that's not more important than your foundation. That's not more important than everything else. And so God took it all away. He took it all. We tend to think that if we're still doing good, God won't take it away. If we're still preaching the truth, God won't take it away, but he will. Why? Because he's trying to teach us something's wrong with the foundation. And so God determined that Nebuchadnezzar had put more value on the tree and everything that the tree produced. But he left one thing that he put no value upon. That was the roots of the tree. Incidentally, the roots, the only thing God left in verse 15. Says, nevertheless, leave the stump. It's the only thing God left was the stump. But it wasn't the stump that God was leaving. It was the roots that God was leaving. It was the roots. Because the roots, as long as there were roots, life can still spring up from the roots. Life can still, that tree can still grow again as long as the roots are in the ground. And so when he left his stump, he was saying, I'm only going so far down because if we go too low, we'll damage the roots. And the roots are what are needed. But see, Nebuchadnezzar, he no longer cared about the roots. He only focused on the grandeur of the tree, of his life, of what it had become. Come on, somebody. Of what it was doing, what it was producing. We live in a very superficial world, and we focus on how big the paychecks are and how nice the car is. That's why people buy a car with 300,000 miles as long as it has a Mercedes emblem on the front. Because nobody can see the miles, all they see is the emblem. There's a big market for used Highline or exotic cars. A big market because people want the image. Because they're all about image. And it's everything that's wrong with our world. It's everything that's wrong with society. And so he said, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the grass of the earth. God left the only thing that mattered. You see, sometimes all this other stuff matters to us, but none of it really matters. We can preach about it. We can talk about it. That's why when somebody winds up with a sickness or a debilitating disease or even a terminal illness, it shifts all of life. It changes everything. It changes our focus, if even for a season. Because we realize at that moment, there's only one thing that really matters. It's the foundation of my life. It's everything that my life has been built upon. That's really the only thing that matters. And so God left what mattered, which was the root. He left what nobody else could see, what nobody else focused on, what fed nobody, what clothed nobody, what gave shade to nobody. But that's what he left. Because ultimately, it's not about what we do, but it is about who we are at the core, at the root of our heart. And so I would say to you first today, don't thank God for the trees. Thank God for the roots, because the roots provide the oxygen. They provide what that tree has become. There is no fruit if there are no roots. We tend to focus on the tree, but not what really matters, which is the roots, because the roots is where life flows from. Hang with me. I know I'm boring some of you. Just hang on. Shifting gears for a moment. We're in a time and a season in our world of spiritual warfare. I've been talking about it. I said a few weeks ago, I believe the only way some wars are going to be won in these last days is when we learn to pray and ask God to send angels to fight these battles. I really believe that with all of my heart, because it's going to be too big for us. So we're not going to be able to fight them. We're not going to be able to. We're not going to win, because we can't win, because it's bigger. It's a spiritual battle, and our weapons of warfare are not carnal. But they're spiritual, and they're mighty through God only. And so in Mark 13 and 17, I'm going to read about 7 or 8 verses there. They don't have any of my scriptures, so. It says, but woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Now, before I read on, I want to ask you a question. How are you going to know when we're in those days? How are you going to know? Well, the Bible says only a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There will be those that will be looking for something magical in order to let them know. But I will suggest to you that you're living in it and don't even realize it because you were born in it. And what was foreign 50 years ago, is normal now. And because it's normal, we don't realize the time and the season that's upon us. If you ever got a dog, you ever get a dog in the summertime? And then the first snowfall comes and the dog walk goes running outside and stops. Like, what the heck is this? Because they're not accustomed to it. They weren't born in the snow. And they're shocked at the first sight of it. And so it is. I'm concerned that that we have a generation that has been born into this and they don't realize, they don't understand. That's why so much sin and unrighteousness is condoned today, because people were born in it and they were taught one thing. We're seeing all over this country now, high schools and middle schools that are releasing their kids to protest against ICE. What a crime. Your kids, they're not there to indoctrinate them. They're there to learn school. But you know what they're doing? They're after our children. They've been after our children for a long time. I think I told you this on Sunday, but if not, I'll tell you again. Just a week ago, the British Parliament had a bill that they voted upon to open up an investigation into child rape, and they voted it down. And you know why they voted it down? They said it would disproportionately affect the Muslim community because Muslims marry babies. I'll say it, and I'm not afraid to say it. I'll say it out loud. It is in their culture to marry children. Yeah, it got real quiet, didn't it? Oh, don't talk about that, Pastor. Why not? And so they voted down a bill to investigate child rape because it would disproportionately affect that community. Now, I didn't say all Muslims are evil or wrong, but that is the predominant teaching in the Muslim community, and it's wrong. Oh, you don't want me to say it because you got Muslim friends? Oh, just let them go to hell then. Because except you're born again of the water and the Spirit, and you believe in and accept Jesus Christ as your Messiah, you cannot go to heaven. There is no Allah. There is no third world. There is no heaven with 70 or 80 or 100 virgins. That's all fiction. I know. Just preach truth when it's about them, right? Maybe you could pause, Pastor, and talk about the gay community. I don't want you talking about this community here. It gets quiet when you hit the nail on the head. I want people to go to heaven. I don't want them to go to hell deceived. This whole Jeffrey Epstein thing is just blown out of proportion. The things and the images that have been released, things they have done to children. There's a war. Listen to me. There's a war on our children. And it's time we wake up and realize there's a war. And let me tell you something. If you and me as children of God don't wake up and realize we're the protectors of our home, and if we're not there to protect our homes, then we have left our children to this world to ravage and do what they want to do with them. We must protect our children and our homes from this sick war that is being fought in the spirit world. So the Bible says, except the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. None. Not you, not me, nobody. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. So whatever timeline you thought we had left, the Bible says God's going to shorten it before we're all lost. That is the intensity of what we're dealing with in the spirit. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, and lo, he is there, believe him not, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the very elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all these things. That's a good finisher. The problem is, if you don't listen, you don't know what has been foretold. The problem is, if we don't receive it, we're acting like it's never been told. But we've been warned that these last days are going to be difficult and tough. We've been warned that the enemy wants to wear out the saints of the Most High God. We have been warned to be careful of false prophets and teachers. Yet we go on YouTube and just listen to anybody and everybody. We have been warned that even if it's possible, the very elect of God could be deceived. But because of God's mercy, he'll shorten the days so we would not be lost. Everything, I was talking to a pastor the other day. He said, man, he said, everything is a battle. I said, man, you are preaching my language. Everything is a battle. Everything. You got to fight the electric company. You got to fight the gas prices. You got to fight the grocery prices. You can't go return something at Walmart without fighting them over something. You can't order something through the mail because when it's the wrong thing, you got to fight to get your money back. And then you can't even talk to the people half the time because you people are all in love with online everything. And then you got to fight hell for your own soul. You got to fight hell for your children. You got to fight hell for your family. And then if you're a pastor, you got to fight hell for the church. You got to fight hell for every saint of God and every single thing they're going through that time. You got to fight for your marriage. You got to fight to go away on vacation. Everything's a fight. Why? Because we are living in the end time. We are living, listen to me. Don't let the devil tell you, well, we've been preaching that forever. It's closer than it's ever been. It's closer than it's ever been. And I want to see people saved. People are walking away. They're walking away like they've never served God. People are going back to their old lifestyles. The Bible says, not our dairy, as a dog returns to his vomit. And they're walking back without any fear of the consequences of heaven or hell. Accountability. It's more important today than it's ever been before. Accountability is more important now than ever before. I had someone wanted to talk to me today about their career. I said, I don't think it's God's will. I could tell they weren't real satisfied with my answer, not in a bad way, because when you get your mind set on something, you don't want anybody telling you otherwise. I said, listen, you believe in the word of God, right? By the mouths of two or three is every word established? Well, here it is. I'm not establishing it because I'm not feeling it. Got quiet. Now, you always have the right to go and do whatever you want to do, no matter what. I wouldn't step one way or the other without God giving me a man of God in my life to confirm I'm in his will. You know why? Because many false prophets will arise and deceive many. Many. And because if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Listen, I don't want this to scare you, and it shouldn't. But we've got to acknowledge the day and the time that we're living in. We've got to acknowledge why, because only God's going to win this battle for us. And he's not going to fight a battle we don't give him. He's not going to fight a battle we're not asking him to fight. He's not going to step in unless we call upon him to step in. And he can't fight a battle if we're living outside of God's covering, because we're living in sin and we're choosing sin and we're justifying sin. Listen to me. This ain't the time to balance your checkbook. Hear me out, what I've got to say to you tonight, because this is what I want to say. Truth is what we want it to be. I was talking to my wife the other day, and I said, the problem with our world is we make truth whatever we want it to be. It's almost impossible to convince people anymore because they believe whatever they want to believe. If you want to believe everybody's racist, then it doesn't matter what I say. Everybody's racist. If you want to believe everybody hates me, then it doesn't matter what I say. Oh, no, don't tell me. I know. No one likes me. No one even cares if I'm there. You'll believe it. If you want to believe you're ugly, it doesn't matter how many times I tell you you're beautiful, you're going to believe you're ugly. If you want to believe you're worthless, it doesn't matter how much I try to tell you that you matter to God's kingdom. Oh, don't tell me I matter, because if I matter, then you'd go on a whole list of why. People make truth what they want it. And that's why, that's Romans. It says, they took the truth of God and they turned it into a lie, and they worshiped the creature more than the creator. That's you and I. We're the creature. We worshiped us, our ways, our thinking more than God's. They took the truth of God and turned it into a lie. Well, God loves me. Well, God does love you. But the lie is you think God's okay with it. The lie is we're condoning it. The lie, Brother Klein, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to blow up your post with my answer. But I've been in your situation. And let me tell you something. We had politicians come and sat there, and they sat right over there. And I was preaching, and in the middle of preaching, I felt led of God to turn around, and I pointed to one of them, and I said, don't you dare allow this office, should you be elected, to change your walk with God, or you're out of God's will. No, I don't care who visits your church. They don't change what we preach. The truth shall set you free, and nothing else. It's only the truth of God that will set us free. People won't like truth. They'll reject truth because it doesn't align with their ideologies, and some people are so broken. They want to believe what they want to believe. Truth is what people want it to be. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Am I okay? Everybody come back Sunday? Brother Klein, you guys come back Sunday? 2 says, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the beginnings of his comings. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. We have to love truth, not just the truth of the word, but truth of our own lives. If I come to you or someone else does and say, hey, listen, you're playing with fire. You're playing with your soul. You're in a dangerous place. That's the truth. Love it. Love it. Love it. Embrace it. Embrace the truth. Hey, I'm concerned about you. Oh, you don't be concerned about me. I tell people, when people call me up, and they say, hey, Pastor Houston, we're praying for you. I'm like, thank God, because I'm about ready to backslide today. I'm glad God laid me on somebody's heart. I'm not going to deny. There ain't no shame in having a bad day. There's no shame in fighting all of hell and you feeling worn out like you don't want to go on another moment. There's no shame in that. You're a human being. We're not superhuman. We need the body. We need the church. We need the word. We need each other. We need truth at those times in our lives more than ever. And because they did not receive a love for the truth, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, that's powerful. That's scary. Because I remember Dr. Hughes told me years ago, he said, the problem people don't ever understand is you don't get to pick your delusion. How do you, listen to me, watch this. Are you okay for a minute? How do you know if you're believing a strong delusion if the Bible says God sent it and you're going to believe a lie? So you believe you're right, but God sent this delusion and it's a lie, but how do you tell someone that? Because you can't change their mind because they believe so much in that lie because God sent it. Why? Because they did not receive a love for truth. You gotta love truth more than anything in the world. Truth of the doctrine, truth of our life, who we are, where we're living, truth of heaven, truth of hell, all of it. Truth, truth. And the Bible says, and then in verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth. Nobody will say they don't want the truth. People are just simply deceived because they fabricate the truth. Now you say, well, how are you going from where you started to this? Very, very easily. If we all agree we're living in very dangerous times according to the scripture, and we believe that we're living in the last generation, and I do wholeheartedly, I believe me or my children will see the rapture, no question in my mind whatsoever. None. And if I'm wrong, I'll probably be dead not to see it, so I won't care, and you can't say anything to me about it anyway. Because I guarantee you ain't going to make a trip to my grave just to tell me I'm wrong. A couple of you might, but I spit on your grave, Pastor. The famous, what was he, a philosopher, Plato? He was a philosopher, right? He said, reality is created by the mind. We can change our reality by changing your mind. First Peter 1 and 22 says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. How do I know if I've neglected my foundation? How do I know if I've got this big, beautiful tree growing in my life and God is ready to send a messenger from heaven to cut it down? How do I know where I'm actually at in this spiritual warfare of my life? How do I know? How do I know anything? How do I know? Truth is how we know. Truth will always be revealed The love of truth will always sustain you through everything. The love of truth will carry us through every valley, across every mountaintop. It'll answer every question. It will give you comfort in every uncertainty. The love of truth. And so when we walk into the church, the number one thing we have to be focused on is, God, what do you need to tell me today? Why? Because I want to make it. Because I want to make it. I've always said, I truly believe that we have completely focused on the wrong thing. We focused on sin, which is easily redeemable. But sometimes we just don't focus on the very fact that we won't be honest with ourselves and who we are and where we are in our life. Listen, storms will come. Storms will come. It's biblical. The Bible teaches us how to survive storms. And you know what it is? It all lies in the foundation. Matthew 7:25. And it says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon that house. The rains will come, floods will come, and it will beat upon your house. It will shake your house. It will shake your faith sometimes. It will shake everything you know to be right. But the Bible says, but the house didn't fall because it was founded on the rock. The rock isn't the focus. It's the foundation that was built upon the rock. The foundation was built right in the right place. The foundation is what kept the house afloat. But when the foundation is not built in the right place, when it's built on quicksand, on untruths, on facades, on image, the Bible says in verse 27, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew. Same thing that happened with the other house. But they beat upon this house and it fell. And the fall was great. Why? Because of the foundation where it was. Both experienced storms. They're inevitable. And storms are indiscriminate of your season. When a storm comes, it doesn't matter if you're on a spiritual high or if you're ready to backslide. It doesn't matter. A storm doesn't say, hey, Brother Kenny, I'm about to blow in. I just want to make sure you're good. Y'all prayed up and everything. Sometimes you come along, and if you've never been on Lake Erie, when a storm comes in, you've never experienced anything like it. I've heard stories, but we've been caught in it. And I remember the first time we got caught in it, we're out there in our jet skis, we still lived up in Cleveland. And man, we had to be 5 miles out at least. I don't know, at least it seemed that far. And I could look over the horizon, over the land, over the city of Cleveland. I could see these black storm clouds. Just like, I mean, they looked like they were like, you know, an eternity away. I'm like, ain't no big deal. I remember looking at the clouds, talking about it. I'm talking to myself because my wife never listened to me. And I'm like, it ain't no big deal. That's probably an hour or 2 hours. I'm not exaggerating to you. In about 10 minutes, that thing come over the water, and it rained so hard. It was like sand peppering your face. And we're trying to make a beeline now as fast as we can move those things. And they were older ones back then. And we're trying to make a beeline to the shore. But it rained so hard that you could no longer see where the shore was. You couldn't see the land. You couldn't see the break wall. Nothing. And I began to panic. But I didn't tell her because, you know, I was still pretty fairly newly married. I got to put on a big macho look. I ain't no problem with this, ain't you? But inside, I'm like, oh, God, we are going to die. And I'm not even going to tell her. And I'm not exaggerating. I was that terrified. And I thought, I just kept driving. I said, God, please let me be in the right direction. That's how fast that storm came in. Storms don't care if you're having a picnic. They don't care if you're close to shelter or not. Storms don't care. What am I telling you? Storms are going to come. They're going to come in your life. Don't focus on the storm. Focus on the foundation. Focus on the foundation. Make sure your foundation is where it needs to be. Make sure you build it in the right place. Make sure it's right. And make sure you don't move your foundation, especially in the middle of a storm. See, foundations are meant to stay. They're not meant to move. They're not. And he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved just like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. The only way you survive a storm is when those roots go deep. So watch, I'm coming to close. The disciples experienced storms while doing the king's business. Jesus sent them into the storm. It's like, come on, man. Can't you cut us some slack? He sent them right into it. They were terrified. They thought they're all going to die. You know why? Because normally in a really bad storm, you think you're not going to make it. Hear me, would you? Would you hear me? For those of you who think you can't make it another day, you can. You can. You're just experiencing the intensity of the storm. But if Jesus is still in your life, it can't go down. You can't go down. You're not hearing me. You think gloom and doom, we can't do this, we're not going to make it, I don't know how we can go. You can. Why? Because the Lord is in your life. And because your foundation was built the right way in the right place. And so when those storms come, what do? Just focus on my foundation. Now listen, I'm going to talk to you for a second. When your storms come, what's your spiritual foundation? Well, to me, the spiritual foundation is the church. I'm not talking about your own personal life. I'm just saying what it represents. Church ain't going nowhere. I mean, so you drive down route, it's always going to be right here, I promise you. It's always going to be right here. And this is where I go. When I don't change my habits and I don't change my ways, especially in a storm. Why? Don't focus on everything else. Don't worry about what you think is going to fall apart. Everything else is replaceable. They'll tell you that. You know, a flood can come. It can tear your whole house apart. And you say, well, as long as you're living, that's all that matters, you know. But you don't realize that until the house falls apart. But before that, you're like, God, oh, God, oh, God, I just bought all these towels. I just put up all these new Christmas decorations. All the things that matter to us, the leaves. Oh, God, we feed the poor. We do it out of our own pocket. But the Lord is saying, but something's wrong. Something's wrong, and so I'm going to cut it all down. Sometimes we're lamenting the process. God's trying to save us. He's trying to spare us by showing us what really matters in our life during certain seasons. So the answer to Nebuchadnezzar's dream was one thing. It was the word. The preached word is the kindling, and our response is the match that lights the fire. You got to have the word of God. The word of God came to Nebuchadnezzar through a dream. It lit something on fire. Our response is everything. Listen to me, your response is everything, especially in a storm. You can't keep doing things the same way in a storm. Go down to Florida. Hurricane season comes, man, they're getting plywood. They're putting nails in places of the house they never put nails in before. But now what matters is saving the house. They're putting sandbags around their house. You've heard the stories of people that took excavators and dug moats around their house in order to weather the storm. What am I saying? In a storm in your life, you cannot just sit idle and keep doing things the same way. You got to do something different to weather the storm. I wish I had one person that was listening to me. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Old scripture. Hear it all the time, Pastor. I know. That's why the more you lift your voice, the easier it is to get through that storm. You don't believe me? Really? Jesus, have mercy on us. We're going to die. They didn't sit there quiet. Why? Because the storm was rocking their world. So the word is the kindling, and we become the match. We give that word life through our response. And God will always send a word into our lives. Always. But the number one problem, this is my last point, is sometimes we can't get out of our own way. And as men, we will never, ever rise higher than our own humility. Humility is never afraid to get on our knees, and humility is never ashamed. You see, normally life goes on as normal until the foundation gets rocked. Then that normally elicits a response from us. Nebuchadnezzar's world was rocked, but the roots remained because everything could be restored as long as the roots were still there. Everything. Hear me, however this applies to you, however. Number one, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Jesus told them that when they were on the ship. He says, be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Why? Because if your foundation, if your roots are right, that's what matters. That's why you got to focus on your walk with God. You got to focus on your relationship. That's why the enemy will try and suck your prayer life right out of you. Because if he can chip away at your foundation, one day he can get you to fall. You know, rarely do you ever see a house crumble because of the foundation. Rarely you do. You don't. The house just crumbles. I mean, it gets old, it's rotten. I guess all of their building codes, they absolutely stink compared to the medieval days. My God, we got castles still standing. You got houses that have been built 30 years ago and they're falling apart. Why? Because they built big foundations for big castles. What I'm saying is typically that house will fall apart, the foundation's there. That's all that matters. I know you know this, but I'm here just to remind you today. Don't neglect your foundation. Don't focus on the basics. What is my foundation? It's my prayer life. I got into church because I called upon the Lord. I'm going to get through the storm calling upon the Lord. Don't let your life become so glamorous. Don't make yourself feel so important. I can say this on camera, I think. I was in our children's services board meeting and they're talking about, you know, what same thing everybody else is talking about. Nobody can get help. And we keep raising the wages. And I finally said, listen, I said, I'm going to make the unpopular statement here. And someone else says, you always do. Yeah. Yep. Sorry, you hate truth. I said, money is not our problem. Now, we keep raising the wages. Don't worry. But I said, money is not our problem. And you know what our problem is? There's been such a massive societal shift. People either don't want to work. You've got a couple generations now that have gone through this drug epidemic. You've taken all those people out of the workforce. You just got a major show. I said, listen, you would do all these employees justice. I said, what is our vacation policy? Well, you can up to 3 years. You can they can cash it out. Yeah, I said, tell them no. Mandatory vacation every year. Well, we can't afford not to. They can't afford to go. You can't afford not to go. I said, if they're burnt out, what good are they? Well, I'm not saying take it away to be cruel. I'm saying emphasize the importance of getting away so you don't burn out. I don't have time to pray, Pastor. You can't afford not to have time to pray. I can't. I can tell you I can't. I can tell you, if my prayer life is waning, I can tell you I feel it in my spirit every day, every time. Brother Kao, you and Brother Klein, you guys don't understand that. Brother Jerome, you guys don't understand that. Your prayer lives are just great. We know Chantel's prayer life's great. But sometimes my prayer life suffers. It takes a hit. You know why? Because you get busy. Life takes over. But then you get to those places in life, and I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here, and I know you don't like those words, but those analogies, but you just got to get back and focus on the foundation. I'm done with the statement. Bishop Ellis called me probably last week. I don't know when it was. It was last week sometime. And we're just talking. And he says, hey, he said, I've got a series. He said, I just didn't. And I just felt like if I can send you the Zoom link to our Zoom Bible study. He said, I just feel like maybe it'd do you really good. And I said, well, what's it about? And I think that the title was something about not letting life take you over or something. And it was all about balance and all that. And I said, well, I think I need to be in there right now. And I had been for weeks, God's been dealing with me about just trying to tuck myself away. I was going to text Brother Vince and Brother Tyler and Chantel and tell them, help me. I need you to help me. I got to get lost in my office. I got to focus on my foundation a little bit. I don't care who calls. I don't care who writes. I got to focus on my foundation, because if it crumbles, everything goes with it. In your storm, no matter where you are in life, don't become Nebuchadnezzar. Don't let yourself get so lifted up in what you're doing and think we're so important that we just forget all about the foundation. Because one day God will come in. He'll cut it all down. He'll yank the rug right, because that's a loving God. He'll yank the rug right out. Everything will come crumbling down. And he'll say, I'm going to send you out there for a season. You're gonna act like a wild man. And you're going to grow like wild hair and all that stuff until you come to the realization of where you went wrong. Why? Because it's his will that none would perish. And so if God's got to take me through that, and I don't want to go through it, don't get me wrong, but don't let me be lost. Don't let me be lost above everything else. And so I've just come today to tell you, we're going to make a big push. We're going to be building a building. It's coming faster than you imagine, faster than I can imagine. I got the email with these elevations. I called Brother Tyler. I said, what does these four letters mean? He said, blah, blah, blah. We got to send it, start getting bids. I said, oh, my God, that was a lot faster than what I planned for, man. I told him, it's too fast. But in all of that, in all of the craziness of life, we have to keep revisiting this topic of our foundation. Because, and I know I got to stop it. I may die, and they may say, oh, their pastor, oh, he was on the school board for this long, and children's services board, and the community say, oh, he was a great icon, oh, and a great church, and, you know, built four additions, and blah, blah, blah. But if in all of that, I secretly let my foundation just crumble away, what does it matter? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Had a preacher that had preached our men's conference for a couple years in a row. Loved this preacher. Great preacher, man. Great preacher. I mean, you could sit there, and he wasn't a screamer either. Wasn't like, and you could just sit there and listen to this man preach, and he'd just talk. He had a deep voice. And, man, I remember one year, a couple years had gone by, I'm like, hey, I wonder what happened to Brother So-and-so. I haven't seen him preach anywhere for a while. So I started digging, made a couple calls. Said, oh, God, he got found out on a beach with some girl, wasn't his wife. Found out he'd been having an affair for a long time. Multiple affairs. I thought, no. God, he let his foundation go. I don't want to let my foundation go. I can't let fatigue be an excuse. I can't. Because if I do, I'll focus on the facade. On the highs and the lows and the bills are paid. No, we're going on vacation. And everything else inside will be crumbling and falling apart. Brother K.O., this one's for you. You know Greg Godwin? You know Greg Godwin? I remember he told the story. He was evangelizing everywhere. High in demand evangelist. He's preached for us. I keep saying it's the last, but this is my last story. And he had a revival, and this was public, so I'm not saying anything. He had a revival booked in Alaska. And Paul Mooney called him up. Paul Mooney was the president of the Indiana Bible College, and he pastored the church there. He says, hey, I want you to come over here. He said, I really feel like you need to be with us for a while. He says, all right. He says, you sure? Because I got these tickets purchased, man. He goes, yeah. He goes, I feel God wants you here. He says, oh, okay. Now, don't take every detail of this when I say it's for you. He gets there, and I remember him telling the story, and he goes, yeah, man. It's a huge church. Huge church. And he says, he walked me through the church, and he goes, yeah, these are our offices. He says, but you don't need to, you're not going to have an office. And he walks me in the sanctuary, and there's a sanctuary, blah, blah, and there's the pulpit, but there's a platform, but don't worry, but you won't be on the platform. Now I'm telling you, hand to God. He said that was the last time Paul Mooney spoke to him for 6 months. 6 months. He said, he sat there. He told me to come. I canceled revivals. In his words, he said, he sat there and he said, and people would be preaching. He said, I was still faithful. I sat and he goes, one day I'm sitting there and this dude's up there preaching. He goes, my God, I could preach circles around this guy. And he said, then the Lord finally opened his mouth and said, that's why you're not preaching. Because it's not about you. It's not about how well you can preach. Sometimes it's just about submitting. Why? Because there was something, and he'll tell you the story, something in his foundation that God was trying to solidify to prepare him for the future. Nothing else matters. If you can be the biggest name in your section, the biggest name in your district, or the biggest name in your country, it doesn't matter if your foundation is wrong. And nobody can see the foundation. That's why we hide it so much. Stand with me if you would. I'm not here today to say people's foundation's wrong. I'm only here to say focus. Focus during this season of your life on your foundation. Focus. Focus on your foundation. Brother Kenny, I've called you out a couple times, but I quite honestly have been amazed with Brother Kenny, because the last several years he's gone through really a war in his own mind, and he'll tell you that. But you know what? He stayed true to his foundation. He stayed no matter how tough that storm was. I remember the day in my office. I hope you don't mind me sharing this. I know you won't, or I wouldn't do it. He said, I don't know what's wrong with me, Pastor. He said, sometimes I want to beat my head off the floor. It broke my heart. Because nobody should have to feel that way. But you stayed true to your foundation. You stayed true. You stayed true. You focused on the foundation even when you couldn't stand it. And that is how battles are won. That's how we win spiritual warfare. That is how we'll get through these last days. That is how we'll get ourselves into heaven. That's how we won't be deceived. That is how we won't be overcome by the adversary. When we focus on our foundation, would you lift your hands? Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I praise you right now, God. Lord, I praise you right now. I pray wherever, oh God, this has to settle, let it settle. Lord, let it settle. Let it settle. Let it settle in our spirit. Let it settle in our hearts, God. Let it settle in our minds, oh God. Hallelujah. You know, God, you know the reason. You know the reason for your word today. I want my foundation to be right. God, I want my foundation to be right. I don't want to get caught up in all the aesthetics of church work and my foundation be wrong. I don't want to be caught up in how pretty I look today, how much money I'm making, and my foundation is just wrong. It's not right. It's not right. God, help us. Help us not to put Band-Aids on our foundation. Help us not to focus on the outside, God, and we forget all about the inside. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Let your word, I pray right now, simmer in this place, oh God. Let your angels, I pray right now, God, simmer in this place, God. Let them overshadow us, God, with your glory. You're preparing, oh God, some people to weather the next few weeks or months of their life. You're preparing us, oh God. Doesn't matter how long I've been in church, if I forget about my foundation. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Away, away from the noise. Away and away to hear your voice. Oh, yes, just to be with you, to worship you, Lord, to worship you.
There are so many homes, God, with unstable, unspiritual foundations. God, you can shore that up. You can shore that up. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to ask all four of our licensed ministers here. I want you all to come up right on the front right here. Would you come? One had to step out, I think. I want you to do me a favor and just lift your hands towards everybody out there. I want you to just pray for them right now. Just stretch our hands out and let's just pray for everybody in this congregation, those that aren't here. Hallelujah. 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 Sister Klein, you come up too. I didn't mean to leave you out. I know you don't have a license, but you're in ministry right with your husband. Dana, if you come up, come on up. Rick, he's out with the baby, I think. Nicole, if you're able, you can come up. I know you got the baby. Come on, let's pray, everybody. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Come on, pray for Ashtabula Church. Pray for the Conneaut Church. Pray for somebody you know struggling. Call their name out before the Lord. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal. Call their name out. Hallelujah. Let heaven take notice that we're not going to give up on them. Hallelujah. Oh.
Lord, I pray right now over every child of God in this building. Lord, I pray in the morning, God, when we wake up, Lord, I pray that we would ask you to help us check our foundation and make sure that it's founded on you, Lord, in your word, God, in the promises that you've given us. I pray in the name of Jesus that we don't ever lose sight, God, of the vision, God, that you have casted here in this church with our man of God. And I pray, Lord, that we pray for strength every day in the name of Jesus. God, that we give you glory, Lord. But God, that we seek your face first, Lord, in your word, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you for what you're doing in this hour, Lord. We thank you, God, for the word that has been preached here today, Father. And again, Lord, let us check our foundation. Make sure our foundation, God, is laid straight. The footings are deep, Lord. Make sure that everything that we do is built upon the foundation of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, help us, Lord, to put everything in order that needs to be in order, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to build upon a strong foundation in the name of Jesus Christ, to check and make sure there are no cracks in our foundation, to check and make sure, God, that our foundation is not leaning to the left or the right, but God, it stands straight up upon your word. In the name of Jesus, we are so thankful, Lord, that you have reminded us, Lord, to check our foundation, to make sure that our foundation stands sure, Lord, in this last day, Father, as it gets darker and darker, in the name of Jesus.
God, I just thank you for this word tonight, God, and I pray that you would help each and every one of us to take it home, God, to take it to heart, God, to not take it lightly, Jesus. I pray, God, that you would heal our minds, God, any false mindsets, God, any false motivations, Jesus, anything that doesn't line up with your word, God, that you would shine a light on it, that you would help us to see those areas that may need healed and restored, God. God, I pray that you would take each and every one of us, God, through that spiritual transformation, that you would take us back to the frame, God, that you would help us, God, to repair anything that may be broken, God, strengthen that which remains, God, and build us back up new all over again, God, that we can be who you've called us to be from the very beginning, God, that before our church ever goes through a physical transformation in this building process, God, that you would, God, create a spiritual transformation in each and every one of us, God, so that we individually and as a church can be who you need us to be to reach this county, God. And I just thank you in advance, God, for the work that you've already started in us, and we pray that you would just continue it, God.
Lord Jesus, this evening as we come unto you, God, your word says that we need a love for truth. God, I ask you right now, Lord, to let the fire for the love of truth begin to burn in some of us again. Lord, sometimes we get so busy doing your work, Lord, that we forget to realize that we need a relationship with you. God, help us to desire the old paths, God, and to walk in them, Lord Jesus. Not to just speak of them, Lord, but to actually walk in them. Lord, to find our way back to the altar, because no matter how long we've walked with you, Lord, it all started in the same place where we cried out from a place where we needed you, Lord, and we didn't know what to do. God, help us to find that place again, to realize that all of our hope, all of our strength, everything that we desire, Lord, starts with you. And without you, none of it matters. Nothing matters, Lord. Help us, God, to desire a love for truth. Lord, because you are the truth. You are the way. You are the way that's going to make it to heaven, God, and that's what we all want to do. Lord Jesus, this night, God, allow a love for truth to be burdened in us again. Lord, never let us desire to leave too far from the altar, to realize, Lord, that that's where we meet with you, God, and that's exactly what we need. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Lord, help us to focus on the foundation, because without it, nothing else matters. Help us not to desire to gain the whole world, Lord, and lose our own soul because we focus on things that aren't of you. In Jesus' name we pray this evening.
We're going to sing one more time, pray as long as you want to pray. It's such a great presence of the Lord here.